This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Well, do we have your attention now after Game 2 of the NBA Finals? Come on in, stay a while. Reggie Miller will stop by a little bit later on. The Heat steal Game 2. The series tied at a game apiece. Game 3 will be on Wednesday. Who do you think is favored Game 3 Wednesday night in Miami, according to DraftKings? Todd, I'll start with you.
I'm going to say Nuggets 3.5.
All right. Seton O'Connor.
Say Heat 3.5.
All right. Marv.
Miami 2.5.
Paulie.
Oh, man. Nuggets 2.5.
Nuggets 2 point favorites right now. 877-3DP Show. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. I had people asking me this yesterday prior to the game. A couple of my friends. Think it's going to be a sweep? And I go, no. Are you sure? Certainly sounded like that after game one. I go, it's game one. They have to play a whole new game. They don't just pick up where they left off after game one. Game two, Miami had shots, made shots. They were more aggressive. They, you know, there's no real mystery to the recipe here. Be aggressive, get to the free throw line, and make your open shots. And they did that last night. They were more aggressive. And they got the win. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Got a play of the day, poll question, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. In fact, what do we have, Seton, poll question-wise?
Well, Dan, we can start actually by going back to Friday's poll question.
Righty.
After Thursday night's game, Nuggets Heat Series is more likely to sweep or go seven. Do you want to guess what those results were?
I thought it was sweep. 70%?
Oh, 80%.
Oh, 80%.
80% sweep, yeah.
Okay.
Dangerang.
All right.
How about we could just go with who would you bet on to win the series now, Heat or Nuggets?
Who would you bet on? I'd still bet on Denver, but look, the more you watch Miami, the more you realize that Jimmy Butler's philosophy is what leads them whenever they go into the series, whenever they're down, whenever people doubt. Here's Jimmy Butler after last night.
I just think nobody cares on our team. We're not worried about what anybody thinks. We're so focused in on what we do well and who we are as a group that at the end of the day, that's what we fall back on. Make or miss shots, we're going to be who we are because we're not worried about anybody else. It's how it's been all year long, and that's not going to change. So that's what I think it is. I think it's the I don't give a damn factor.
This program brought to you by the great folks at Mercedes. The Mercedes-Benz SUV family proves that it's easy to come in and take a test drive. Takes no time at all to set it up. Mercedes-Benz dealer. Learn more at MBUSA.com. There's also the thought, and we brought this up, Bam Adebayo, the Miami Heat center, brought it up, that you have to limit Joker and his ability to be able to set up his teammates. He had 4 assists last night. Now, if they make the shots, he has 12 assists. Then this might be a moot point. But the fact that he put up 41, they lost, and he wasn't able to get everybody else involved. Well, here is the question from Ramona Shelburne of the Mothership to the Miami Heat head coach, Eric Spoelstra.
This is probably oversimplifying things, but sometimes when teams play against Jokic, you turn him into a scorer, you turn him into a passer, and he controls the game. He only had 4 assists tonight.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, it's just, that's the untrained eye that says something like that. This guy's an incredible player. Twice in 2 seasons, he's been the best player on this planet. You can't just say, oh, make him a scorer. That's not how they play. They have so many different actions that just get you compromised. We have to focus on what we do. You know, we try to do things the hard way, and he requires you to do many things the hard way. And he has our full respect. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Okay, what's he bothered about?
Was she disrespectful?
Yeah, I don't think there was anything disrespectful. She basically saying, look, I'm going to oversimplify this. And then he basically stops her in her tracks. Bam Adebayo said that, you know, basically that when the series started, that he, if he's a scorer and not a facilitator, that's what we have to kind of push him into. You know, I'm kind of surprised that Spoelstra is unnerved by that. Yes, Eden.
At what point did Ramona say in there that he's not a good player?
Yeah, Paul.
I think, I'm trying to see any way Spoelstra could be bothered. Coaches don't like to take jabs or give any bulletin board. I wonder if he thought that by going along with Ramona Shelburne's questioning, he would have been somehow saying, yeah, we want Jokic to be the scorer because then we know we'll win. We have a better chance of winning. And that would somehow demean him. I think that's what he was being defensive about.
Well, I can only give this to you from firsthand experience when if you try to act like you know as much or more than the coach does, the coach has a real problem with that. That happened with me when Pat Riley was the head coach of the Knicks, and I asked a question, and he shot me down in front of all the reporters because I was acting like I knew basketball. And I think that's what it is. You know, the untrained eye is what he's saying. So he's saying, I'm coaching, you're watching.
Oh, you figured it out too then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yes, Todd.
You could also use words like, I know in the moment you can't edit yourself, but that type of narrative or those who suggest that, so it doesn't sound so personal, so it's Ramona. I think there's a way to get into that without it sounding like he's, you know, attacking her specifically.
Just give me your question. I don't think she's suggesting, and she's saying oversimplify.
This is probably oversimplifying things, but sometimes when teams play against Jokic, you turn him into a scorer, you turn him into a passer, and he controls the game. He only had 4 assists tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not outlandish. People have talked about this. One of his own players spoke about this, that you want to make sure. And it felt like when Miami built up a lead, then Joker said, I don't want this to get out of hand, and he started scoring. I think what the Miami Heat did is, they guarded the other guys. They didn't try to give help to Bam guarding Jokic. I think that's really what it came down to. And they didn't make their shots. Now, if they knock those shots down and he ends up with 12 assists, then Miami's down 0-2 going back home. They didn't make those shots. It's not like Jokic wasn't trying to be a facilitator. They just didn't make their shots. And he did. And he took a lot of shots. Miami hit their threes. They were far more aggressive, and they went through the free throw line. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, not to oversimplify this, because I don't want to get verbally spanked by a coach in the process, but hey, Miami, be aggressive and get to the hoop. We talked about that after game one. If you're going to shoot 2 free throws, you know what that tells me? You're shooting threes. Get to the hoop. Get some fouls. They went 18 of 20 from the line, and they made their shots. And they were more aggressive. That's it. And now Denver, who's favored in game 3, what adjustments do you make? You know what the adjustments? How about you make your shots? That's all. It's a great philosophy. You don't need to be a great coach to go, you know what, guys? We need to make our shots. Okay, coach, let's go. That's all that this is. Be more aggressive. Get after loose balls. and realize that you're in for a fight here. This is going six, maybe seven games. But, you know, don't – we were talking about how this offense, this Denver offense, is one of the greatest offenses of all time. Well, it's great when it works. Just like any other offense. It's great when it works, and when it doesn't, then you got to give credit to Miami. And this is Eric Spoelstra doing the right things, pressing the right buttons. Jimmy Butler didn't play well. Bam Adebayo played well. Bam Adebayo, to me, is the key. If Miami wins this, it'll be because he keeps pressure on the Joker. Offensively and defensively, do the best you can defensively, but offensively, you have to make him pay. Make your shots when you have open looks, because after game one, I said, don't be fooled by this. Miami had open looks. They just didn't make them. And if they continue to make them, Miami is going to stretch this out. But game three, let's see how Denver responds now as a two-point favorite. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. We say good morning. Those watching on Peacock, our streaming partner, download the app if you haven't done so. Also, our radio affiliates, Chat Row as well. And we'll get to your phone calls as we always do every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you like, you didn't like. Game two, Stanley Cup final. Golden Knights taking game one, 5-2. And thank you, Marvin. Thank you. As if we needed the sound effect to let people get the feel.
Every time we mention hockey, we have to play that.
Yeah. Whenever I say Stanley Cup final, yeah, it's automatic. Yes. A voice recognition there. Yes, Todd.
It was exciting for a while. The Panthers scored a goal to tie it at 2 with 10 seconds left in the second period, and then it was all Knights with 3 goals in the third.
Thank you, Todd.
There's your 5 good seconds.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you. Yes, Paul.
Do they leave the horn longer when it's a third period goal? Do you notice that? Like, does the horn guy, it seems like the horn guy has control over the length of the horn after a goal. Because sometimes in the first period, it's horn, maybe 3 seconds and out. But if it's a third period, I've noticed some places where it's a big goal, game tying game, you take the game, they let it play out. These are my hockey questions.
So ride the horn a little longer on this one. It's a bigger goal.
Ride the horn. Isn't that the
Panther? Tommy. Yeah. Hey, Tommy, got to ride the horn a little bit here.
On this one.
All righty.
Isn't that the, like, the light the beam, ride the horn?
Yeah, ride the horn.
Come on, Ty, we just came down. We were down 4-1. Now
come on.
We just tied it up 4-4. Ride the horn.
Come on, Tommy. Yeah, damn, all right. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Seton, do we have a poll question today?
Yeah, we were just talking about it, Dan. Who were you more likely to, who would you bet on to win the series now?
Okay. All right.
That's the one we're going with.
Okay. Who's going with the Heat now? Anybody going with the Heat? No?
I feel like I did the Nuggets before, so I'll take the Heat now.
All right. Reggie Miller has one. That didn't take long.
Smart.
Yeah, I'll take the Heat now. Right. Yeah, sure.
Reggie Miller has the Heat winning in six. Yes, Todd?
When is trying to motivate your team publicly a detriment? Like, if you're a player on the Nuggets, do you need Michael Malone to say publicly they outworked us and, you know, like, basically almost like they wanted it more down the stretch? What does that really do to a player? Do you need to hear that?
He did say this after the game.
And I asked the team, you guys tell me why we lost. And they knew the answer. Miami came in here and outworked us, and we were by far our least disciplined game of these 16 or 17 playoff games, whatever it is now. If we're going to try to go down there and regain control of this series and get home court advantage back, we're going to have to outwork Miami, which we didn't do tonight, and our discipline is going to have to be off the charts.
Okay. He asked them what they didn't do, why they lost, and they told him. They weren't as disciplined. They weren't as hungry. They didn't want it as bad. When did you realize that they weren't disciplined? And no, who's responsible for their discipline?
Let's just not work as hard tonight. And
guys, slow down. You're working too hard. Let's save it.
If we can win at home 75% of work ethic, let's just try that. See what happens.
Yeah. Let's see if we can coast tonight, all right? Ready, break. Yes, Todd.
Is Julius Randle now an assistant coach of the Nuggets that we weren't aware of about wanting it enough?
Yes, Paul.
I'm going to call out Fritzy for calling out Michael Malone, because Fritzy called out Michael Malone for calling out his team. But Michael Malone says the team called out itself.
Wait,
when he
hold on, hold on.
I cleared that up.
So you're calling out Fritzy for calling out the head coach who called out his team.
Yeah, because I'm saying he didn't call out his team. He asked his team what the problem was, and they told him what the problem was, and then he's just reiterating the problem.
But then he reiterated the problem publicly, therefore he called out his team.
He's alerting us of the self-call-out of the Nuggets
vis-a-vis
by themselves, hereto forthwith, whilst playing.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Yeah, he did call him out. He didn't have to say that in the press conference. He could have said, hey, what I tell them stays in the locker room. That's it.
We're going to keep that between us.
I love the fact that nothing is kept between anybody in the locker room anymore. As soon as it's said, somebody will tell somebody and it's already out. You don't have to get to a press conference. Yes, Paulie.
I think that would bother me the most as an athlete. If the coach went out there, I think Fritzy's got a point, though. If a coach comes out there and I just played 47 minutes, I'm sweating, and the coach played no minutes. You know, our team really didn't give their full effort tonight. You could say we didn't hit our shots or we didn't execute the trap well or we didn't jump out on screens. But if you say we didn't give our full effort, I'd be like, man, hold on a second.
I don't know what that means, that we weren't hustling.
Everybody, like all 12?
Or... tell me who wasn't hustling, coach. Could you call out your team now? Who wasn't hustling? Who didn't want it bad enough? Yes, Eden.
I don't know. I think that there are times, though, where it looks like people are playing slower or less hard than they do in other games.
But this is the NBA final.
Yeah, no.
You would think.
But sometimes, like, you fight a little harder through a screen, or sometimes that screen just gets you. I don't know. I don't know that everybody out there can honestly say, like, I gave 100% of my maximum effort. It might have been your 100% that night, but your 100% was lower than it was other nights.
Okay. But you can give 110%, though, in some games,
that
right?
That does not exist, no.
Yeah, I don't know.
In sports, it does.
I don't think you can give 110. Can you give 110% in life? Because it feels like it's only in sports that you can give 110%.
No, I actually saw one of my daughter's report cards, and in gym, she got 102% on her report card.
Okay, well,
extra
then
credit points.
That's 102%.
Right. You can't get 110.
Not 110%.
She gave 110 to get 102. But then she missed classics.
She actually didn't give full effort then because she missed 8 percentage points of effort.
So she did not.
She actually did not give.
She disappointed.
Up. Right.
Yes.
Wow.
She could be called out, I would think.
I'm going to call her up right now.
Are you guys giving 110% today?
110?
Yes.
It is a Monday. Got to kind of gradually boost your way up to that 110%.
No.
Every day, every hour, every minute is the Super Bowl.
What if we said we're giving 100%? Is that not enough?
It's okay.
Wouldn't you be disappointed in this, though?
A little bit.
Like, this is your max effort?
Yeah.
This is 100% of what you have to
Well,
offer.
Plus, if I saw that that was your 100%, I'd be disappointed. But, I mean, like, I'd rather know that you guys weren't giving 100% where I go,
I'm about 54 right now.
Yeah, one of these days, these guys are going to give 100%. In the meantime, give them 54%. Let's take a break.
That's not nice.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform. And one source of truth. With NetSuite, You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Our good buddy Scott Hastings played in the NBA, member of the 1990 Bad Boy Pistons, now a color analyst with the Nuggets. He will join us here in a moment, but I want to play what Eric Spoelstra had to say. Ramona Shelburne of the Mothership asked the question, which I thought was a fair question. Eric Spoelstra did not think so.
This is probably oversimplifying things, but sometimes when teams play against Jokic, you turn him into a scorer, you turn him into a passer, and he controls the game. He only had four assists tonight.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, it's just, that's the untrained eye that says something like that. This guy's an incredible player. Twice in two seasons, he's been the best player on this planet. You can't just say, oh, make him a scorer. That's not how they play. They have so many different actions that just get you compromised. We have to focus on what we do. You know, we try to do things the hard way, and he requires you to do many things the hard way. And he has our full respect. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Okay, and it's a walk-off, too. I don't know why that bothered him so much, unless he's really careful of trying to oversimplify the Joker. So the compliment would be, hey, he can score, he can pass. If we can limit one and maybe, you know, is really good at the other one, we still feel like we can win. He's gone over 43 times in the playoffs. They've lost all three times. Are you trying to make him one-dimensional? How do you make him one-dimensional? I don't think that's a preposterous question. It felt like, and she's even saying I'm oversimplifying here, but that was like a Greg Popovich, you know, untrained eye. You never played the game. Yeah, Paul.
If you're Ramona Shelburne after game three, you raise your hand and say, Coach, like you, I never played an NBA game. What are your thoughts on Jimmy Butler's blank, blank, blank?
No, if Joker goes off and has like 12 assists and has, you know, 25 points, Coach, I might be oversimplifying this, but it looked like you were trying to let him be a passer tonight. Not a scorer. Your thoughts, Coach? Yeah, Seton.
And he's like, he throws the untrained eye thing at Ramona Shelburne, which was really unfair and just rude.
Yeah.
But then, like, there's literally former players who are working as analysts now saying the exact same thing. Would they be considered a trained eye?
You would think, but Bam Adebayo was talking about that prior to the start of the series, that if you can make him one-dimensional. Scott Hastings joins us now. No, the Nuggets TV color analyst, former NBA player, and was at last night's game. Let me start there with Spoelstra and what he had to say in response to Ramona Shelburne's question. Is that logical to approach the Denver Nuggets that, hey, if we limit Joker to just scoring, that we can beat him?
Well, here's the take on words that statement makes, in my opinion. It's not Joker not getting people involved. You know, I keep a stat because this came up a couple years ago. Well, you know, just let Joker get his. So I do the games. I'm calling them on radio still. And I'll keep a stat how many, you know, kick out and miss shots. Drive to the basket, got a layup, get fouled, right, where you get free throws, but you don't get an assist. He had eight of those last night. So if all those shots are hit, all of a sudden he has 12 assists to go with his other stats. That's a pretty good night. So I don't think it's, well, let's let him get his. Listen, we all need a little help once in a while, you know. And I thought, like I said, Michael Porter, you know, had another bad shooting night, one of seven, I think, from the three-point line. And, you know, when you're a guy inside and you watch that game, you see, I mean, there's bodies around him wherever he's going. And anybody want to tell me they let Joker get 41 last night? I'm not sure they watched that game. I mean, they were all over him.
I thought after game one, Miami had open looks. They just didn't make them. So I thought that was a deceiving win by Denver, that Miami didn't play that well. Now you have Miami not winning and Jimmy Butler not playing that well. And now you go to game three in Miami. So what is the expectation level?
I think a little bit of game one, a little bit of game two. I think both teams want to shoot the ball better. I thought Duncan Robinson, who had 0 points at half, they let him get started. And you know, you let a guy get hot all of a sudden. And that's the thing in my hope for, you know, Porter Jr. And even in the broadcast last night, when he made that one little layup, I'm like, well, maybe now he's seen the ball go in. Listen, I said this before. I think Denver's probably a better team on paper. The only people that really play on paper anymore are puppy dogs. So I don't think that means much. But I think it's going to be a good series. What's the old saying? The series doesn't start until somebody wins on the road. And guess what? Miami just made the first statement the series has started.
What's the adjustment now that Denver makes to counteract the adjustments that Miami made?
Well, first of all, we're heading out today, so I'm getting all my Ricky Martin DVDs out and music.
Okay.
I figured and a Miami sound machine, so I figured that would kind of get me in the mood.
Okay.
I'm thinking about sending some of those soundtracks to Malone to see kind of play for the guys to get him ready. The physicality. Listen, you can't win, and I really do, and I say this respect, think this is a softer league right now, and just kind of way the nature of basketball has turned more finesse, if you will. Great athletes, better athletes than there's ever been in the history of the world, top to bottom. You got guys that we're never going to know their names in 5 or 10 years that are 10 times the athletes of dudes that have, you know, that we're still thinking about. But I still think in this time, in this series, in this type of stuff on the line, that the more physical team's going to win this series. And Miami, you know, like I said, a couple calls, the game changes. But I think Miami is a more physical team last night.
He's Scott Hastings, the Nuggets color analyst, former NBA player, member of the 1990 champion Pistons. Did you guys have to talk about what the philosophy was on the Pistons to beat up Michael Jordan?
No. It almost like you walked in the door and you had an injection or something, and then it was ingrained in your brain. Jordan rule. And I remember them talking about, yeah, so we know how to play him. We know how to play him. And I remember Brendan Malone, Michael Malone's dad, he and I would drive to the airport. I said, what is, you know, the Jordan rules? What are those? Well, here's what it is. And then it became, listen, that was like a tattoo. You came in and that was, you know, you knew exactly what that was.
But Chuck Daly never spoke about beating up Jordan?
They were talking about beating him up. We just said no layups. I mean, it was done nicely. We were gentlemen, Dan, so to speak. It was. We wanted to get up on him when he got the ball. When he got rid of the ball, you aren't letting him catch it, and he was getting no layups. That were the three simple rules, basically, that we had.
But I wonder if you guys changed the NBA by the way you played against him. Therefore, he started lifting weights. You made Jordan even better because of the physicality that the bad boy Pistons had.
Well, the little documentary that came out, remember, of Jordan in the middle of COVID, he kind of admitted that. And yeah, you know, if we were just nicer to him, then maybe face. and you know, all of a sudden, maybe, you know, we could have won a couple more in Detroit. But listen, this, first of all, I still think he's one of the most special people that's ever played this game. And I don't care if anybody can get in the argument of who's this and who's that, but there's just a nature. You and I could go back to the mid '80s Lakers Celtics when the clear path is what it's called now rule first came into tape. Because remember they're clothesline Lambus on the Rambus on the fast break and doing all this stuff. So the game has changed. A, they say for health and safety or whatever. I say it's because they just don't want, you know, to see somebody decapitated right there on live TV, and I can understand that. But you got to adjust how you play. And that's another thing also that I don't think is talked about enough. And I don't like I said, I don't like officials, but that's not here or there. You and I will write a book about that. But each one has their distinct personality. You got to understand what that personality is. And you've got to play to that personality. Daryl Gerritsen, the great, late great Daryl Gerritsen, you knew that was going to be a tough physical game because he didn't want to call a lot of fouls. He had to adjust. Earl Strom, you saw him walking the building, you were hoping you were the visiting team. Jake O'Donnell, he rewarded hustle. I mean, and these are three legendary NBA coaches. And it's the same way. You got to know the personality, guys, and you got to play to them. I think the league wants this more of a finesse athletic game, and that's what's turned into. But sure seems like it to me in the finals, the more physical team wins.
Safe travels, Scott. Always great to talk to you, buddy.
You know what, Dan? I just want to say I miss you, I love you, and I need you in my life.
Well, keep winning, and then because if you know, I'm a front runner. If you guys don't win, then Scott, no, I'll be calling you to talk about the Broncos.
Yeah. Well, no, you won't ever talk about that. Ask Fritzy about that. I guarantee you, Fritzy's come to you 1,000 times trying to get Bronco guests. That ain't gonna work.
Hey, all I know is Russ is leaner and meaner. That's all I need this year for Russ. Let's ride.
He does. He does look leaner, doesn't he?
I don't know what that means, but he's leaner and meaner.
Yeah, I'm leaner here in the last couple of weeks, too, and I still can't get up off this couch.
Thank you, Scott.
See you, buddy.
Scott Hastings, former broadcaster for a variety of teams, the Atlanta Hawks, now with the Denver Nuggets, and a former Bad Boy Piston. You know, when you think about it, Jordan started lifting weights. Back then, you didn't have basketball players lifting weights. And Jordan was like, I'm going to have a trainer, and I'm going to get stronger and tougher and be able to put up with the Bad Boy Pistons. So the Pistons actually made Michael Jordan better because they forced him to get bigger and stronger. But at the time, back in the late 80s, we're like, hey, no layups, man. He comes in, he's going down. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, I could find a couple articles from the late 80s, early 90s. Jordan was against lifting weights, he thought it would mess up his jump shot, which is conventional wisdom back in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
And he was 190 when he graduated college. He got up at one point in his Bulls career to 215 pounds. And he actually took a room at his house and made it an entire weight room. And guys like Scottie Pippen would come over in the summertime.
Has he sold that mansion in Chicago yet?
No.
How is that possible that Jordan can't sell it?
Because the person who buys it would have to be an incredibly great basketball player who loves the number 23 to really enjoy that house. It is, it's clearly Michael Jordan's house when you see all the decor and the inner, like the gate in the front has a huge 23 on it.
Yeah, okay, but that can be replaced.
But there's like 50 other things inside the house that clearly.
Like, how many reminders do you have to have of your jersey number? Does he have any 45s in there? Is it all just 23? It's a beautiful piece of property outside of downtown Chicago. Yes, Todd.
And the pool shaped like a swoosh is kind of awkward.
That's not true. Yes, Paul.
It's a very dated looking house. It looks like something that was built in the 90s.
But it probably was.
Yeah, and it's been on the market for 10 years.
How much is it Didn't it start at something like, you know, 30 million?
Yeah, and now 29 million.
Okay.
And now it's down to, I think we can get it for 14 million.
Well, we can. Okay. Yes.
It is crazy that number where, like, in 1984 or whatever, Nike had hoped to make $3 million a year.
Yeah.
Or $3 million in 4 years or something like that. And they make $3 million every 5 hours now selling Jordan.
Is that what
gear.
It is?
According to this one article, yeah, it's $3 million every 5 hours. They hope to do that in 4 years.
By the way, Sam Cassell is joining the Boston Celtics, and he'll be on the coaching staff under Joe Mazzulla as they add some experience there. Yes, Paulie.
Jordan's house in Chicago that's for sale was $29 million. It's 56,000 square feet, 7 acres. And so now $14 million is actually quite the bargain. It's down to $265 a square foot for this house, which is half of what his neighbor's houses are going for. The broker said, the only issue with the house is you're going to have to do a lot of work to make it your own, which is basically saying it's very Michael Jordan friendly.
Plus, the heating isn't zoned either, which is a big problem.
Oh, terrible.
You got to heat all 56,000 square feet.
The bathroom needs regrouting, I heard.
But he's got a full basketball court in there.
Shouldn't it be 23,000 square feet, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a tennis court.
I would think on that big of a property, you could have whatever you wanted. I'm surprised he doesn't have a golf course on there.
He has an infinity pool with the grass island. Like, was it Pinehurst? What's the TPC?
Yeah.
The floating island little area?
Yeah, the Players Championship.
Yeah, he's got one of those little a pool with an island that you could chip to.
That's nice.
He's also got a berating room where visitors come over and he berates them for not being as good at him about things.
Does he have a room where he punches former teammates?
Yeah, you come in there.
The Steve Kerr room? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. you know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. NBA Finals Game 3 Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern on ABC. That'll be in Miami, and according to DraftKings, the Miami Heat are 2-point underdogs in that game. As we bring back the Hall of Famer, Turner Sports NBA analyst, Reggie Miller. Before we get to the game, did you have bed check when you played with the Pacers? Was there anybody in the lobby who would keep an eye on players as they were coming and going? Were you aware of that?
Not that I'm aware of. It's not like football. I know in football they have bed checks or curfew. Remember, you're only dealing with 12 to 15 individuals versus, you know, 40 or 50 on a football roster, 25, I believe, on a baseball roster. No, I think everyone was left to the honor code, to the honor system. But look, if you need to be monitored at this point of the year for what's at stage, something's wrong. You don't have the right priorities.
Yeah, but there are a lot of young players in the game now. I'm not talking about the NBA Finals, but I would think you have to have a hall monitor with some of these kids. I mean, they are kids, Rich.
They are, but, I mean, they've been doing this for a while. The AAU circuit is a lot worse than, you know, college or the pros, so you would assume that they are some type of built-in system or trust within the player, an organization, a coach, a franchise. But no one was in the lobby with a keypad, with a pad and a pencil, monitoring what time you came in or went out, or who was coming in and who was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
That's more important, who's coming in and who's leaving.
That'd be...
A lot of times you don't need to go anywhere. You can have your own fun come to you.
That's the import-export business that you might be in. All right. Would you have a problem if you're a Denver Nugget with your coach, Mike Malone, saying this?
And I asked the team, you guys tell me why we lost. And they knew the answer. Miami came in here and outworked us. And we were by far our least disciplined game of these 16 or 17 playoff games, whatever it is now. If we're going to try to go down there and regain control of this series and get home court advantage back, we're going to have to outwork Miami, which we didn't do tonight, and our discipline is going to have to be off the charts.
Got any problem with that?
No, I think that's a little bit kind for Coach Malone. If you remember in some of those games early on in the playoffs, he was calling them soft. And, like, who is this team? I think that's very mild for Michael Malone, and he's absolutely right. To me, the first 6-8 minutes of game two set the tone. Now, again, Denver, they rebounded and they played well from the second into the beginning of the fourth, but the tone had already been set on how that particular game two, was going to be played. It was much more physical. It was possession orientated. And there was a lot of missed assignments, defensive assignments, that you didn't see in game one for Denver. It was almost like they were playing a regular season game as opposed to game two of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, but I don't know. It feels like he wants to mention names, individuals, but he's going to do it under the collective umbrella as the team. I'd start with Michael Porter Jr. III. What the hell? You get paid a lot of money. You're a no-show. He's like, good game, no-show. Good game, no-show. And, you know, as the third best player on your team, you can't have that, man.
Yeah, at this point of the year, no. And you're right, as valuable as he is to the Nuggets' success. Also, too, you know, I know we're only two games in. I'm still kind of waiting on Jamal Murray. We saw what he did in those first couple of rounds where he's been absolutely fantastic. He had his moments in quarter two or three But we're still waiting for him to have one of those signature type moments here in the finals. But, you know, when I'm watching game two, it looks like Miami went to the game plan, and Jokic I put in this same category with Stephen Curry. You got to make them either or. They can't be able to do both. Either they're going to be a volume scorer or they're going to get a lot of assists. They can't do both. And in game one, Jokic did both. He had 25 plus and he had 10 plus assists. He's going to get his rebounds. I'm not worried about that. But in game two, 41 points, and I believe only five or six assists.
Yeah, four.
So you got to make him one or the other. It's when Denver is crazy is when he's able to score and get those other guys off. He wasn't able to do that last night.
Okay, Eric Spoelstra would have a problem with you with that logic there, because here's Ramona Shelburne from the Mothership talking to Eric Spoelstra last night.
This is probably oversimplifying things, but sometimes when teams play against Jokic, you turn him into a scorer, you turn him into a passer, and he controls the game. He only had four assists tonight.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, it's just that's the untrained eye that says something like that. This guy's an incredible player. Twice in two seasons, he's been the best player on this planet. You can't just say, oh, make him a scorer. That's not how they play. They have so many different actions that just get you compromised. We have to focus on what we do. You know, we try to do things the hard way, and he requires you to do many things the hard way. And he has our full respect. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Why is he bothered?
He did that. But he did do that. He did it the hard way, and that's staying home with shooters, staying attached, making life very difficult for Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. So you can't sag and help. And if he wants to get into that turn and do all those spinnings and make those incredible shots like he did in the third quarter, you shake your hand, you're going to lose anyways. But you can't let Porter give you 12 to 15, Murray 25 to 30, KCP 10 to 12. Those guys, you take away their looks and make Jokic 30-plus high volume, make him field goal. Look at his field goal attempts last night. He was, I wouldn't say he was gunning, but that's a lot of attempts. Scorer.
Yeah.
So I understand what Coach Spoelstra is saying, but he doesn't want us to understand that's exactly what they did last night. Take everyone else away, make sure he doesn't have 10-plus assists. And get those other guys going.
It could have been a monster night where, you know, Jokic scores 41 and he has 10 assists. If those guys make six shots, then he's got 10 assists, and then Miami is now down 0-2 going back home. It's not like they go, you know what, he gets to score all of his points and then we'll shut down everybody else. I mean, that's their logic and their philosophy, but if those players make five or six more shots, then all of a sudden we're looking at that philosophy differently. It's like you let him score and pass. Game one, they hit their shots. Game two, they didn't hit their shots, and that's the difference in his assist total.
I agree, but I also think, too, it was much better effort on the defensive end by Miami, staying attached and getting into shooters, crowding. And, again, Bam, Adebayo, Zeller, and at times Love, it's going to have to be single coverage. And if he scores, then so be it. But we've got to stay attached. That has always been the plus for the Denver Nuggets, has been their depth and their ability to get those others. You know, you hear Shaq talk about all the time, those others. Get the others going along with Jokic. That's why they've been so successful for this NBA Finals run.
Kevin Love looks like somebody's dad who stepped onto the court. Like if he had cut off corduroys and New Balance on, you would think you were at the Y when you see him. He got old, man. What happened? Kevin Love's not that old.
Father Time catches us all. but I will say this. For a guy who started that Boston series and then was pretty much relegated to the bench because of the play of Caleb Martin, and then now to play, he really didn't play a lot in game one either. But then here is Coach Spoelstra again, I mean, this is why he was on the top 75 coaches, making the adjustment, putting Love back in. You could just plug him in. This is a guy that, you know, every time he's been in the playoffs, his teams have found a way to have been in the finals, and he just competes. Is he the same player he was when he was in Minnesota and when he won a championship with Cleveland? No, but he's serviceable. You can plug him in. He's not going to hurt you, and he's going to play within the confines of how the Heat want to play.
Frank Vogel is the Phoenix Suns' new head coach, a defensive-minded head coach. What does he bring to a team that's got a lot of shooters?
I think he brings a chip, because I thought he was railroaded when he was with the Lakers. They put a lot of the blame on his shoulders, and he was shown the door after winning that bubble championship. And I think he's going to be bringing a chip. You've got a top 10 player in Kevin Durant, arguably the best scorer this game has ever seen. You've got Devin Booker, and we saw how electrifying he was in the playoffs. And if you bring in that defensive-minded, I mean, DeAndre Ayton, that's what he's known for, defense. But they've got to have a few team meetings, because they've got to air out some things in that locker room first and identify roles. That's the good thing about Frank Vogel, is he's going to identify roles. So that, coupled with the chip on his shoulders from what happened with the Lakers, that is a scary franchise. And if they can add the defense, what he's known for, again, they'll be in the running to represent the Western Conference a year from now.
More likely to be there next year, DeAndre Ayton or Chris Paul?
I think you can get a lot of players for DeAndre Ayton. Wow. It's hard to find four generals, but Chris Paul's body is breaking down, and DeAndre Ayton is younger. I would probably say I would err on the side of going younger in size with Ayton, just for the simple fact is Chris Paul's, what, 37, 38, and a lot of injuries that have kind of mounted up. I would probably say DeAndre Ayton, just to be safe, because of the age.
Yeah, he's 38. We're talking to Reggie Miller, the Hall of Famer. Monty Williams getting $10 million a year to coach the Pistons.
Not that bad,
okay.
Monty.
Okay, what is Eric Spoelstra worth? What's Steve Kerr worth if Monty Williams is worth $10 million a year?
Both are worth about 15, I would say. I would say both are worth 15.
No, they've won. They've won something.
I would certainly say, I would think Spoelstra should be worth more than Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr has three Hall of Famers and is coaching three Hall of Famers. Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler will be a Hall of Famer. But everyone else, I mean, look at what he's done with Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Duncan Robinson. I mean, the list goes on. Caleb Martin. To coach these guys, these undrafted players, and to find yourself a split series in the NBA Finals. I mean, come on, man. And he's making in-game adjustments, post-game adjustments. They just find ways to win. Slight edge to Eric Spoelstra in terms of the monetary, which you're talking about. Both are worth $15, $16 million in my book.
Okay. Who is the best coach in the NBA?
I'm still going to go old school. Greg Popovich.
Well, he's going to get a whole lot better this year with Victor Wembanyama.
This will tell me a lot. Now, when Wimby comes to San Antonio, and if they are a top, I'll say 16, top six, if they don't have to be in the play-in, that lets you know that's all Greg Popovich, right? Because they've been terrible the last few years. They've played hard, but they've been terrible. But now you're going to get Wimby. If they can be one of the top six teams in the West, it's got to be Greg Popovich.
I saw an analyst who said that if Wembanyama is like Akeem and Kevin Durant and one other person, that would be a disappointment for his career.
I would say that.
I would too.
Kevin Durant? If this kid is a mixture of that, my only concern is he looks like me at 7'5". Knock on wood. I was rarely injured throughout my 18-year, only ankle injuries. But I play on the perimeter. I'm not banging with the big boys. But it's not as physical as it was in the 80s and 90s. So he won't be banged up like those days. I just hope he doesn't get hurt, right? I pray he stays healthy. If he stays healthy, and everything I've seen on videotape, everything I've seen in scouting reports, if he plays like that, the future is his. So I'm excited for him.
Did we talk about Carmelo? You're in favor of retiring his jersey with the Knicks?
I think the Knicks and the Nuggets should retire Carmelo. Absolutely. You don't think so? Syracuse, Nuggets, certainly, and the Knicks. Yes, absolutely.
Well, what constitutes retiring somebody's jersey?
I think impact to the game, numbers.
You, Reg, you had more of an impact on the Knicks than Carmelo did.
Right. Impact in the community, too. Okay. Melo was good in the community. Yes, he needs to have his jersey retired in all three of those places. Syracuse, Denver, and New York Knicks.
I don't know.
You don't feel that?
Here's the thing. Well, first of all, Jokic wears 15.
I know. I was just getting ready to allude to that. So how do you handle that? Look, Ed O'Bannon and I from UCLA, we both wore 31. We're both retired at UCLA, and he was retired before me, and I played before him. So two 31s are retired at UCLA. Why can't we have two number 15s retired for the Denver Nuggets?
Who was better at UCLA, you or Ed O'Bannon?
Are you serious right now? There was only a handful of players at UCLA that were better than me. A handful. And that's with a couple fingers cut off, too.
Wait. Okay. So you're saying Bill Walton and Kareem are the only two players in UCLA history better than you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I have to take Gail Goodrich over you.
I beg to differ, but that's your opinion.
Well, he did have an unbelievable championship game when he put up, 42? They won a couple national
titles. I said a couple of fingers. Right? So that's three. There's Gail Goodrich.
So you're the fourth best player in UCLA history. Is that what you're saying? Fourth best.
Yeah. I'm not gonna. Paulie,
what do you have?
Paulie.
I gotta decide this?
Well, no, Paulie. I thought you had numbers here.
I'm gonna go. Reggie Miller started 93 games for UCLA, had three great seasons, 15 points, 26 points, 23 points. Ed O'Bannon similarly started three seasons, 17, 18, and 20.
And won a title.
Part of a title.
Okay, so that trumps.
No, he won a title.
That trumps a lot. No, that does trump a lot.
What if Reggie was allowed to bring one of his siblings to help him?
That trumps a lot.
Yeah.
See, if I would have had Cheryl playing with me at UCLA, we would have won too. He had Charles.
Would Cheryl have started at UCLA with you?
I don't know if she could have started, but she would have been a hell of a sixth person.
Would she have played?
No, Cheryl would have definitely played. I would have made sure. And then I could have been just like the O'Bannon brother and got one.
Yes, Paulie.
I have a list from Bleacher Report, greatest UCLA players of all time.
Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
I'm just reporting the facts.
Okay.
Lou Alcindor, number one.
Absolutely.
Bill Walton, number two.
Yes.
Gail Goodrich, three.
Yeah.
Marcus Johnson, four.
Okay.
74 to 77.
There's Richard Washington. Is he in there?
I got Walt Hazard, five. Reginald Miller Six.
Six. Oh.
But that's upper echelon. Okay.
I'm in good company.
Yeah, you are.
I'm in good company.
Walt Hazard.
We forgot about Marcus Johnson.
Yes.
We forgot about Marcus.
Yes.
Apologize.
So you'd put Marcus above you?
Yes, I would.
Okay. That's respecting your elders.
Pooh Richardson's not scaring Reggie.
Pooh is not. No. Yeah, I felt bad for Pooh. He couldn't shoot.
Hey, Pooh was a heck of a distributor.
Yeah.
He found me.
That's what happens. That's what happens. That's what happens when you can't shoot. You got to be a distributor.
You better find me. You're right. But he can find you.
Thank you, Reg. Great to talk to you.
Pauly, way to break the tie.
Yay. Woo. Yeah, Reggie's got the Miami Heat in six.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.